Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dear, Minister of the 12th Hour, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 8, 2017, or Artist Tibet 22, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Let the Heavenly Light Shine Through. Well, you would not have known about a woman for y'all to be a happy day. Verse 1 again. And we're getting so much out of this chapter 40 of Isaiah. We keep feeding off of it from other parts of the scriptures. It says, verse 1, comfort ye, my people, saith your Yahweh. Now, this God, G O D, I'm learning more and more all the time. And Jeremiah, he calls God, he calls Yahshua, King of Israel. Several times there in Jeremiah, he called him the King of Israel back there in the Old Testament. Okay, and so now it says, speak ye comfortably unto Yahrusim, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Yahshua's hand double for all her sin. For the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahshua, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. Well, who is this Isaiah is talking about? He's talking about John the Baptist here. When Yahshua turned 30 years old, John the Baptist was one crying in the wilderness. All right, so it says in Isaiah 40 verse 4, for every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Yahshua shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, all flesh, Gentiles and Jews alike, all flesh, all races, kindred, tongue, nations, and people are going to see it together. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Yeshua bloweth upon it. Surely the grass, the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Yahweh shall stand forever. Okay, now what did I say that for? Because it says right there in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What about that? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then you go to Galatians 4:4, and it talks about confirmation on that. Let's go look at it. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, Yahweh sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Yahshua was made, created, reincarnated, under the law. Now, He was not created in the heaven when He first created, in His first life. He was created above the law. Why did I say that? Because the law that is talking about here was added because of transgression after Adam and Eve fell into sin. Well, actually, after Lucifer in heaven fell into sin in heaven, then the law of the sanctuary, the sacrificial system, was added. It says so right there in Galatians 3:19. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh the Father is one. Now, there you have it. They say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit makes up one deity. But here it says right here that Yahweh is one. So that doesn't mean that Yahweh is three. The Father is one. And that's in Galatians 3:20. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith, and I'll add the blood part, it's not in here, faith in the blood of the Yeshua Messiah might be given unto them that believe. But before faith in the blood of the Yeshua came, we were kept under the law of the blood of the animal sacrifice, shut up unto the faith in the blood of Yeshua, which should afterwards be revealed. So you see, when you supply the missing words, you see how clear it becomes. Wherefore, the law was, it's not, was is a past tense adverb, was our schoolmaster to bring us unto the Yeshua, the Son, that we might be justified by the faith in His blood. Not justified by the faith in the blood of the animal anymore. But after that, the faith in the blood of Yeshua is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, we're no longer under the law of the animal sacrifice, of the law of Moses, of the Old Testament. Well, we know that in Ephesians chapter 2:15, it says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, thereby. So now we're seeing this God, G-O-D. The translators are, well, the main reason they put God in there is they're talking about the Father. So we're going to have to stick to that norm, I guess. I've been interchanging God to mean Yeshua and so forth. But we're going to have to look more closely at this. This is the closest we can get to understanding what the scripture, who the scriptures are talking about. As the translators have used the word God, and they use the word Lord up in lower case. The title Lord, they are referring to the Son. So we have plenty of that in the Old Testament, folks. Okay, and the New Testament. Okay, it says in Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So what does it mean? He reconciled. He can reconcile both. Well, that word reconcile, I mean, he's reconciling the old sacrificial system of the animal with the sacrificial system of the Yeshua. In other words, he's breaking down that middle wall of partition between the Old and the New Testament, and so making peace. That's how he makes peace in the world. And then it says in Ephesians 2:17, and came and preached peace unto you, which were far off, and unto them that were nigh. Okay. So now, when Paul is talking to these Ephesian Gentiles, he says, and he came and preached peace unto you. In other words, he preached peace unto the Gentiles that were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And he said, he preached to the Gentiles that were afar off and those that were nearby. For through him we both have access by the one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of the Father, Yahweh, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Yeshua, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of the Father through the Spirit. Now we go to Ephesians 4:15-16. It says, by speaking the truth, verily speaking of the truth and the love, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I added that. May grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Yahshua, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according unto the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in the love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Yeshua, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Yahweh, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness for the working all my uncleanness with the greediness. That ye have not so learned the Yahshua, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in the Yahshua. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according unto the deceitful love. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after the Yahweh is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place unto the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for Yahshua's sake hath forgiven you. Okay, that finishes out that chapter of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back now to Isaiah 40. Verse 6, it said, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with the strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your Elohim. Behold, the Yahshua Messiah will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. See, it says his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills and the bottom. Who hath directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or been his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of the judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of the understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Unto him then will ye liken Yahweh, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth a silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman, to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? How ye have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing, and he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? Now, when I read in verse 25, unto whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Who is this Holy One? This is Yahshua. This is Yahshua speaking here through Isaiah. He's the one that met Isaiah there in Isaiah 6 and purified his lips with the coals from off the altar. This is Yahshua meeting Isaiah there. Let's go read Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw also the Yahshua, the Son, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Yahshua of the host. This talking about the Son. The whole earth is full of his glory. Okay, now, Psalm 72:19 verifies that. By David. David verified that way early on, before Isaiah came on the scene. This is 72:19. It says, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it says right here, in Psalm 72:18, it says, blessed be the Yahshua Messiah, the King of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Hallelujah and hallelujah. For the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. I will go back to Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now here Yahshua coming to this earth in his traveling throne. He comes to this temple here on earth, and the post moved. The post separating the inner, well, I'll say it. Anyway, the post in the sanctuary that separates the two apartments moved. So apparently this is Yahshua coming in with his throne into the sanctuary. The traveling throne is a flying saucer, is what it is. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Yahshua of the host. Okay, and Exodus 33:20, way back there with the Moses and the children of Israel, coming out of Egypt. Let's see what happens here. And this is Exodus 33:20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Well, now this is Yahweh talking, the Father talking to Moses here. So really, this is not the same thing here. Here, that Isaiah, because he's seeing Yahshua face to face. I'm assuming that he sees him face to face. So he says, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, Yahshua of the host. I'm assuming that he looked upon his face as well. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me. But Moses back here in Exodus 33:20, he was talking to Yahweh. And they're starting at verse about 16. For when shall it be known here that I and my people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Yahshua, now this is Yahshua, not the Father. Before we've always said this is the Father. This is Yahshua talking to Moses. Because he is that rock in the cloud that has fallen the children of Israel with Moses. Said unto Moses, I will do this thing also if thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. Now this is Yahshua talking to Moses. And I know thee by name. And Moses was certainly perfect. He's purified. He was without sin at this time. Or he couldn't make this request that he would see Yahshua in the person. He wanted to see this person that was leading him from that cloud there above him. There in verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, all of his goodness. And I will proclaim the name of the Yahshua before thee. Okay. We got a little situation here. Moses is asking to see the Father. He wants to see the Father. The translators are having a hard time getting their titles correctly here, but we're going to try to help them out a little bit. So actually, let's start over with verse 16. Let's just start with Exodus 33:13. It says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated. I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Yahshua before thee. So he said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Son. In other words, he said, comma, and I will proclaim the name of the Yahshua before thee. So the Father's telling Moses, I will show you all my goodness. And then he said, I will proclaim the name of the Yahshua before thee and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So this is talking about the Father. Even though Moses was perfect, and he had found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Yahweh had already told him earlier that my presence will shall go with thee. He said, my presence will go with you. And there in verse 14, Exodus 33:20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Yahweh said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall thou not be seen. Now we got Isaiah over here, in Isaiah 6, verse 5, saying, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, he said the King, the Yahshua of the host. So apparently, Yahshua was clothed in a little less glory than the Father. To come to this earth to be a presence also with his chosen people. And his chosen leaders, like Isaiah. Because this is the first time that Yahweh, the Father, is shown to be addressed as a king, and that would be through his Son. Whereas the Father by himself, he doesn't he's not addressed as a king of this world. It's his Son that is addressed as a king of this world. In Isaiah 6:6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Yahshua saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Okay. Now this is the voice of the Father, Yahweh. Because he says also is a conjunction. He says, so in addition to seeing the Son, the King, the Yahshua the host, he says, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Father, Yahweh, saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now the Father is talking about who will go for me and my Son, Yahshua, the King. Okay. Then Isaiah speaks up, and then said I, here am I, send me. So the voice of the Father spoke to Isaiah on behalf of the Son, Yahshua, asking the question, who will go for us? Us is a pronoun, meaning the Father and the Son. Who's going to go for us? And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Yeshua have removed men far away, and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land, but yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So the holy seed is the substance thereof. Okay, that's the end of Isaiah 6. Let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 40 and finish up. Verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim. Hast thou not known? Anytime you use that word judgment, it ties in with the Father, because the Father has judgment first and foremost. The Son also has judgment. But referring to G-O-D, God, is referring to the Father. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Well, you know, what does it mean, fainteth not? This is how we identify the Father. Because his Son came to this earth and he fainted. He fainted away under the terrible trials that he was going through, especially the cross. He couldn't bear the cross by himself to Golgotha. He had to have some help. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Well, we finally got through Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go right on into Isaiah chapter 41. Continue. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as a dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Yahweh, the first, and with the last I am he. So it says, I, the Yahweh. It says Lord here. And as the way we know who we're talking about here, we're talking about the Father, because he was the first. He's without beginning, without end. He is, no doubt, he has to be the first. The Son is the second. Okay. But the Son is the first of this world. He's the first of this world, and he's the last of this world. But the Father is the first of the universe, of the heaven, and he also is the last of this world when it's over with. They help everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage." So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, "It is ready for the soldering." And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away." "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Yahweh the Elohim, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Yahweh. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." So he's talking about the Father and the Son here. Yahweh says, "I will help thee," and then he says, comma, "and, in addition to, my Redeemer, no, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel," which is Yahshua. Okay? "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Yahweh, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." Here they are again. Rejoice in the Father and the Son. Okay, it says in verse 17, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Yahweh, will hear them. I, the Yahweh of the Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the high places and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Yahweh hath done this, and, comma, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." So the Father and the Son have created together. "Produce your cause, saith the Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob." Okay, so it says, "Produce your cause, saith the Yahweh," and that's a semicolon. And it says, "Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob." Who's the King of Jacob? This is Yahshua. "Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come, show the things that are to become hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods, yea, do good, or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooses you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rise of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth the clay. Who hath declared from the beginning, that we may know, and before time, that we may say, he is righteous, yea, there is none that sheweth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold then, and I will give unto Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Okay, that's the end of Isaiah chapter 41. Let's go right on into chapter 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect and whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. Now this is Yahshua now. Yahshua now is put in charge of judgment. And here's it. He's going to bring judgment unto the Gentiles now. He shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall not be, he shall not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. And we go to Matthew 12:20, and Matthew's talking about this over here. Let's see what Matthew has to say. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Okay. So it says, Isaiah 42:4, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim, he that created the heavens, and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit unto them that walk therein, how the Yahweh have called thee in righteousness. And I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. There is that Gentiles again. So who is Isaiah sent to now? Well, he's sent to the house of Judah, number one. In his day, when he came on the scene, about 700 BC, he was first to the house of Judah, then he said also to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42:7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Yahshua. That is my name. Y-A-H-U-S-H-U-A. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. sang unto the Yahshua a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to sea, and all that is therein, for the isles and the inhabitants thereof. With the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountain. Let them give glory unto the Yeshua, and declare his praise in the island. For the Yeshua shall go forth as a mighty man. Okay. And this is talking about the Son, Yahushua, Yahushua. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. So you go to Revelation 19, 17 to 21, and right here John the Revelator sees it actually being fulfilled here in the end time. Revelation 19. Let's see, Revelation 19, 17 to 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great Yahweh, that he may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with the brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Okay, now let's go back to Isaiah 42, verse 14. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pool. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say unto the molten images, you are gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Now this is asking a question. Who is blind, comma, but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Question mark. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Yahshua's servant? Okay. Now it says, who is blind but as he that is perfect? Seeing many things, but thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Let's do that again. For the Yahshua is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law the law of the Father, and make it honorable. So Isaiah 43:25 talks about that. He said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. It's talking about the Father, actually. Okay. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are all hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Yahshua, this is the Son, he against whom we have sinned. So Isaiah is talking about we have sinned against the Yahshua. And when we sin against him, we sin against the Father as well. For they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. So it's actually, I guess, talking about the Father here. Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel unto the robber? Did not the Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Well, the Father and Son both have laws, so it's talking about both of them actually here. Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, and the strength of battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. And we are also at the end of our study for this hour. King of the Universe by Elijah David. Someday I shall go to the city. I'm a soldier and earth is old. And behold,
children have found,
and it won't be contented till heaven comes down. Praise the name of the universe, truly lovable, highest in the heavens, upon him we call. For daily mercy, forgiveness of sins, our